Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Colonel Colburn was coming over with his lovely wife, Nancy, and I was preparing my Louisiana barbecue shrimp. And as Carla likes to tell everybody, and you went out and bought four shrimp. I blew the whole thing. It was like lots of sauce, very few shrimp. Here's your shrimp. Here's my shrimp. Does it say how big the turkey is from Popeyes?
Not here. Let me take a look.
In Bolivia, we celebrate with a condor.
An condor. Expedition is taken into the Andes Mountain to hunt for the elusive giant condor. But they've been using the same 12 foods since 86.
No mashed potatoes? Then the whole thing is sus.
No, they got sus. You love saying sus.
I do.
It gives me the ick, as the kids say.
It does. It does. Right. He thinks he's being hip, and he's aging rapidly, and it's sus is what...
My son's beginning to... He has a name. His name is Rob.
Rob doesn't get to use sus anymore.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike. I was just smelling my cardigan, and I realized that everybody's going to be able to see that because we have the four box now.
Yeah.
Great video day. Is a skunk the same smell as weed? Because I was in my Uber.
Yes, similar. Very similar.
Very similar, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like a square. But
you're coming
like,
off a night where I can tell you exactly the smell of weed because at the bowling alley.
Oh, again?
At the bowling alley. Well, every Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
you
had the contact. No, because you got the contact.
I was, this time, I was at least 30 feet from that door because we were towards the middle of the alley.
Right.
And I still smelled it, and that same dude was coming through the door, and I was walking to the men's room, and I was 30 feet away from him, and I looked at him, and I went,
yeah.
And he grinned like a pot-smoking grin.
Thank you for that clarification because I feel like my sweater now smells – or I'm sorry, my cardigan.
Cardigan
now smells like marijuana because the Uber that I took in smelled like marijuana. And I don't mind. I'm not a square. I don't mind that. Like, you know what? Smoking if you got them.
Isn't that verboten, though? I mean, if he's, public transportation, it's still public transportation.
Could have been the previous contestant in the Uber.
I have a little thing on my Uber that says, don't talk to me. No conversation. Because
so
I don't want to be looked
at. I'm not
going
to be able to, you know, obsessively converse, so I've got to go...
I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to buy anything that's imported. I don't want to do anything like that. I just want to get to work, right?
Right.
And half the time, it's me like calling Mac or calling Rob or somebody. So we're good.
You know, maybe because I digest the news a little more carefully in the 24 hours before we're going to have our friend Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project on the show today. But what I didn't know, and it was a big deal, in the meeting between President Xi of China, Premier Xi, Fearless Leader Xi,
Premier Radio Network Xi.
Premier Radio Network.
Xi Gordon Liddy.
Fentanyl.
Nice.
China has a lot to do with fentanyl. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
China sends the ingredients for putting fentanyl together that eventually gets to the United States. Originates from one of the ingredients or the products that come out of China.
Didn't know that.
Feed that, then it's put together down in South America and gets into the... So there's a big discussion, and now the big story coming out of that summit meeting with President Xi of China is that he's going to be actively involved. Now, I think when a guy like that says he's actively involved, it's China, right? So they shut that stuff down, I hope.
They just lie to us.
There's no reason for anyone to cover that when there's a chance we'll be getting pandas back. That's what they're all talking about.
Yeah, but that was the sidelight that is irrelevant.
Do you think the pandas get to keep the miles?
Nuclear war. What's that?
The pandas get to keep the miles from their travel
on the Panda
so they can
Express?
Go on their vacations for free.
Yeah, in the future, holiday travel.
I hope so.
Such.
Holiday travel. I spoke to my daughter yesterday, and she is still unsure as to whether or not she and her beau will be biting the bullet
What?
Not like waiting to the last minute and deciding as opposed to driving, flying. I said, you really kind of...
Oh, this is for Thanksgiving?
You're really insured. Yeah, this is for Thanksgiving. I'm like,
they'll get a good deal if they wait on the flight. That's smart.
I don't usually, think it's going to happen.
Do they do a lot of walk-up
selling? You know, in fairness to my daughter... They're coming next Wednesday at the last minute because she's getting a master's degree now.
Agreed.
And she is... She doesn't, you don't, I guess you would know this, Oscar.
Yeah, you really, go to school.
You really don't miss classes when you're getting one of those programs.
No, they actually.
Is it a master's degree in air travel?
Record.
It's a master's degree in archaeology.
Oh, that's right.
Or historic preservation or restoration.
Have you seen the movie National Treasure?
I love that movie.
I have, yes. Yeah. I think sequel. I saw the first one.
The three that I saw, I remember, were great.
But anyway, we're getting excited today. I will venture out any advice, last minute advice, because I'm going to buy the bird today.
Popeyes, baby, Popeyes.
I'm not going to get trashy, the fried chicken. Popeyes.
I love it. It's not fried chicken. It's a turkey that's frozen.
I'm not going to get a deep fry. It's not frozen.
It's
frozen.
It's a spiced roasted turkey that you heat up in your house.
Roasted.
It's frozen?
Yes. The whole schmear is frozen.
I thought you pick it up at Popeyes and then put it on the table.
No, it's
frozen. I thought
frozen.
They deep fry it for you.
It is
frozen. Are you
frozen.
Certain it's
There's
frozen?
There's no deep fried.
I think it's just chilled.
I'm 100% that it's frozen because when I picked it up, I said, this thing is frozen. They said, absolutely.
And you said, let it go.
And then I had to give it to somebody because it was such a quick turnaround. They're like, I'll defrost it. I'm like, all right, here you go. Wow.
Mike, my turkey tip for you is this.
Yes.
If you can, go 16 pounds or under if you
I'm definitely getting 14 to 15 pounds of
Perfect, because then it's a hen. It's going to be a little more tender.
Okay.
When it gets to about 16 and a half, 17 pounds, then it becomes tom turkey. And they're a little bigger, but, you know, not quite so tender.
I have some information on the Popeyes turkey.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah.
Your whispering is really starting to annoy me on the show. I hate to say that, but it's really...
Sorry.
There you go. With vigor. Because it always sounds, when I hear you speak sometimes, I feel like I can't get the mental picture out of my mind that you were somehow curled up in the fetal position going through one of your spells. And I worry about you.
Let me just clarify here. And I'm not being PC.
No.
I just want to triple down on what Mike is saying. You have a wonderful work ethic, Mac, and I can't believe I'm saying that. You absolutely do.
Thank you.
Well, that's great. I love to hear that because you're my contact.
But you need to, Mac, even if you're tired, this is broadcasting 101, and Mike, back me up because I'm still learning.
Right.
Even if you're tired, even if you've been on Ashley Madison all day, during the show, you have to be boom.
Yep, got it.
Yes.
Fire.
But getting back to what I was saying, I really do. Contrary to what many people around this show and Podville and everywhere else might think, I worry about people. I always do. I worry about people. And when Mac says he's like not feeling well, I really worry about him because I know he's got some issues that he has to monitor, and I'm very concerned. So when I hear him go, is he ill? It's the first thing I think of.
No, get the opposite. See, I don't think, because he'll be the first to
you get
to
the
text.
Opposite.
Yeah, he cares less.
I feel the opposite.
Because, you feel anger.
I don't feel anger because he is.
Distrust.
We have a wonderful, Mac and I, straight, communication. If you don't feel great, let me know. We'll work it out. Done.
Okay.
True or untrue, Mac?
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
All right, so Mac,
I know he doesn't feel good when he I know he doesn't feel good when he tells me he doesn't feel good.
Okay.
What upsets me is
he feels good
when,
today. Then
he feels great.
Yeah, I feel fine.
But he sounds infirmed.
Yes, exactly right. So Mac, you were jumping in to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I have some information on the Popeyes turkey here on the website.
Very good. Can I
just one more?
What's
time?
What's going on? What?
Yes,
Mike. I have some information here about the Popeyes turkey.
Oh, try you that. Do?
That's
no,
right, Mike.
No, I want him to
work you're
on
showing
his presentation.
Him how to do
yes,
it.
Yes.
Okay, go
please.
Ahead, Mac. Do what I ask you.
So we have here a Cajun-style turkey that is pre-cooked Cajun-style turkey, and all you have to do is thaw, heat, and serve.
So
boom,
it is
bam.
Frozen.
Okay,
done
Oscar,
deal.
I applaud you. You knew exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. I
so
know my fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have a trash palate.
And
I know this.
You've had them before.
Yes, they're fantabulous. And I keep on begging my mom to stop, you know, reminiscing on the days from Honey Bank Ham and go to Popeyes.
And get
Did you have turkey in Bolivia?
Can you stop it, please, for just a second? You know what? It doesn't help when you have to do that. I'm seriously curious about this bird. How big, Mac, does it say how big the turkey is from Popeyes?
Not here. Let me take a look.
In Bolivia, we celebrate with a condor.
roast condor.
An expedition is taken into the Andes Mountain to hunt for the elusive giant condor, similar in look to the prehistoric pterodactyl.
Yes, very
and,
big.
So,
in fairness, it's the Andes condor.
Is it a chicken breast or is it a full? Is it a turkey breast or is it a full turkey?
At Popeyes, it's a full turkey.
Full turkey.
Yeah, and it serves 8 to 12 people. It doesn't say the size, though.
Of course it doesn't, because that's how they get you. Right, Rob?
It's
that's
exactly how they get you.
It was expensive. It was $99. I remember it was $100.
Yeah, $100.
Did it come with any sides?
You can get sides, yes.
It was $100?
It does not come with. Yes. Yeah.
That's insanity. That's absolute insane. How much will if I buy a 14, 15-pound turkey, fresh or frozen, at the grocery store today, Rob, how much is that going to set me back?
A butterball will be like $1.29 a pound to 99 cents a pound, depending where you go. So it'll be $20.
It's $20, and they're putting an $80 markup so they can put their stupid seasonings on it?
My mom said
they also ship it.
They ship it.
They ship it.
If it fits, it ships.
Shipping is included in the $99.
You can go through the drive-thru. That's what I did.
You're not going to find a better Thanksgiving discussion than this.
Right? I went through the drive-thru.
When you went through the drive-thru, do they have a hard time fitting it through the window? Because, I mean, it's a turkey.
They said, the lady was sweet. She said, honey, pull into the first spot. Mm-hmm. Someone will bring it out to you.
Oh, they love that.
I totally get it. I understand. I am blessed with the aforementioned master's degree getter who is going to be coming down here, and she will be preparing the bird as she has for the last three, 4 years, I believe. So
doesn't she spatchcock the bird?
What's spatchcock?
Why do you have to talk about his daughter like that?
No. When you cut it open so it lays flat.
Yeah, I mean,
No. That's when you cut the bird open, and it lays sort of flat.
Okay, Alton, why don't you just give us a little more information on that, okay? Spatchcock.
Spatchcock is when you cut the bird, I believe, down the backbone, and then you lay it flat.
That's not what you do when you spatchcock a bird.
I think you're making this up, Rob.
I'm not making this up.
What was that factory up in Pennsylvania where the guys got arrested?
Oh, for spatchcocking?
For spatchcocking.
Happens all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
We've had, by the way, in my illustrious career, we have had...
Yes.
Oh, God, this is a funny show. We have had moments where we've discussed that, spatchcocking.
Yes.
They were all
not at all what I implied.
I had a friend in college who was a spatchcock blocker. Every time we'd go out to get something to eat.
Yeah.
Attaboy. That's the one that had chronic acne, right?
Yeah, but he had a personality and girls would swoon to him.
So you split it and lay it out flat?
So you get a more even roast.
She's going to stuff it. We're going to cook the stuffing separately and she's going to season it and baste it and maybe brine it. I don't know.
Mike, spatchcock turkey, a.k.a. butterfly turkey.
Ooh.
Is extra juicy.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you come up with that out of that massive head of yours, when you throw out spatchcock and then you have to look something, that's the depth of your knowledge, isn't it? You know headlines, but you don't know the story. So you will say, going to spatchcock? And now you're reading it. I want to see it right off the top of your head. If you
what
know
I just read to you is exactly what
he told
I said
us.
To you.
Is it a butterfly?
Yeah,
is it like butterflying the
butterfly the turkey?
Butterfly.
Do we dare bring in our friend Reed?
Let's do
into this conversation.
Let's see.
We should ask him.
That'll be the first question.
Who does a turkey?
Yeah,
and does he know about the Andes condor? And
he knows
this one way to
fillet. There he is, right there.
Hello,
Mr. Reed Galen.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Reed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Super early.
Your first question. It's very early out there. Are you in your cabin in the woods? Is that
Utah? I am. Yes. All right. Yes. I forgot my Ted Kaczynski hoodie, but yes, I am here in the woods.
First political question for you today, Reed. Do you know what spatchcocking a turkey is?
I do. I've only done it to a chicken, but yes, I do.
Look at that, Rob. See? Look at that. See? Are you
like
happy
mine's.
Now? Are
yeah,
you happy?
I'm delighted.
The man
never
knows.
Happier. Thank you, Reed. Most appreciate.
That's actually my favorite way to cook a chicken.
There. Okay. So you're not a novice when it comes to kitchen activities. You know what you're doing in there.
I like to think so. Yeah. I mean, doing it with a turkey would be a. I mean, that would be a big thing.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
yeah.
It would. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That. I like to cook. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you have, you know, Mike, everybody here, Oscar doesn't have children, nor does do they cook at his home, near as I can tell. I don't know if they have a stove, but, you know, you go there, you know, it's after work. There's sort of a rhythm and a meditation to cooking, and you make this meal and you think it's going to be great. And then your family's like, I don't really like this.
That's not fun.
And they're like, we love you, but we hate this. You know, okay.
Yeah. I've had that happen, but I have it with guests. I usually do most of my cooking when I have people over.
Yeah, see, that would be.
And my wife tends to remember things going back 20 years as far as.
Oh, sure.
You know. I remember one where I had a very prominent, in my house, as far as people that come through my door, a prominent guest. Back in the days when I was courting Colonel Michael Colburn, the head of the Marine Band, the President's Own.
Friend of the show.
We became fast friends, friend of the show. And Colonel Colburn was coming over with his lovely wife, Nancy, and I was preparing my my Louisiana barbecued shrimp. And as Carla likes to tell everybody, and you went out and bought 4 shrimp. Anyway, I blew the whole thing. It was like lots of sauce, very few shrimp.
I have a quick.
Here's your shrimp. Here's my shrimp.
Oh, Reed, you're gonna love this. You may not remember. Mike gifted me a dining room set from Manassas at one point.
Took that out of my Victorian.
The set is not actually from Manassas. It was housed in Manassas.
Yes,
in his home in Manassas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. And, it was from the Second Battle of Bull Run. Yeah.
And you could tell where Mike sat because there might have been some tense moments because one of the arms was not broken because of pressure or weight. It seemed like it was broken because he wanted to break it.
Oh,
in his
that's
chair.
Your theory. It's not yes. true. It's
alleged.
Absolutely untrue. It was just back in my days of being a man of larger carriage, and I will tell you, it was probably damaged during one of the. We didn't use that room very often. We really didn't. We didn't have formal dining was not the thing. Greatest Thanksgiving I ever had. And I didn't know we were going to do a whole Thanksgiving thing a week ahead, but why not, right?
Yeah.
The greatest Thanksgiving. The greatest. This was me. I think this was pre-birth of my son.
Okay.
So my daughters were over for the holiday, and we had my wife, her mother, and her mother's beau, and a couple of other guys that were there, and we had some cocktails and went into the TV room and turned on Mommy Dearest with Faye Dunaway playing the role of Joan Crawford. And it was the single, and we watched it as a comedy.
Yes.
And I remind everyone,
you
should watch it as a comedy. You know, Christina, Bring Me the Axe, and, you know, little wine. It went just the best. The best.
It is a great film. You know, the last time I caught it on television, I put it on and Julia was home and Carrie and I were watching it and Julia was in the room and Carrie and I were reciting the movie as it went, just scene after scene. We knew all the dialogue and Julia says, "This is weird. Why do you know this?" And I said, "Because it's important. It's very important to know this."
It is. We could talk about Thanksgiving all day long. We have this man here who is an expert on things political, and we are basically a year out. Isn't that hard to believe? We're a year out of the big day, and I think that it's a weird world we live in. Now, I have so many questions for you that it's frustrating because I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start with my backyard because I am a resident of Southwest Florida, which is redder than an angry boil. It is red, 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 red down here. In 2020, leading up to 2020, which would have been 2019, I will tell you it was sticker land. It was Trump, 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 everywhere you could see. There was passion. There was I'm down here now, and there's nothing. There's nothing on a car. There's not a flag flying in the back of a pickup truck anymore. There doesn't seem to be anything going on. The Richie Riches that I occasionally swing a little golf club with don't really want to talk about it, but they do want to talk about how much they don't like Joe Biden. But they don't say a word about Donald Trump. So the reason I'm just setting all this up to ask you, what the hell is going on? I'm hearing panic from Democrats. I'm hearing silence from Republicans. And, well, that's it. That's really not a question. I just thought I'd throw that out to you.
No, well, look, I think one thing is it's always different when someone's in office in the White House, right? Because, you know, he's your guy. Yep. Or that person's your guy, and you see him every day. Remember, that was also pre-COVID, right? Mm-hmm. So it was literally a different world. Also, Florida has become sort of the, you know, American Bavaria, right? It's where all of these people are gathering now, like they were 100 years ago in Germany. So what I would say is this, is that, yeah, there are a lot of Republicans.
I hope we have some history majors out there that get that reference, yeah. Because I certainly do seek. All right, go ahead.
There are, so there's a lot of Republicans who don't want to admit that they want Trump back, because here's the thing. It's not a comfortable aesthetic choice, Mike, right? He's still embarrassing, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to take him to your club. You really wouldn't want to go to his, mm-hmm. right? You liked him in 2016 because you weren't ever going to vote for Hillary Clinton, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we forget that Hillary Clinton was mythological for Republicans. Mm-hmm. In 2020, again, remember that if you go back and you listen to Republicans talk about Trump's time in office, they never talk about 2020. They talk about the first 3 years. Mm. They'll never talk about 2020, right? Oh, well, yeah, you know, the tweets and this. But they didn't really talk about all of the damage he did from a foundational perspective, from a norms perspective, from a decency perspective that he did in the first 3 years he was in office. And then obviously, you know, his last year, you know, his incompetence and mendacity, you know, killed 500,000 Americans. So, you know, they certainly don't want to talk about that. But what you said about President Biden, I think, is the key part of this, which is they don't want to talk about Trump, because talking about Trump means you have to admit that you will take him over Joe Biden, right? Mm-hmm. It's if you can convince yourself that Joe Biden is the Marxist superhero that you know, is going to, you know, seize the means of production, then you can justify and rationalize your vote for Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. But is Joe Biden that Marxist superhero, or is he a doddering old man? Like, you have to make up your mind at some point. Yeah. On Democrats panicking, now I'll say this. I've spent 4 years fighting alongside Democrats. Remember, I'm a former Republican. Mm-hmm. This is what Democrats do. You know this. It's baffling to me. Why? There's a lot. Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, all day, every day. Yeah. I was on the phone, you know, for an hour yesterday talking to different people. And that's what I heard over and over and over again.
What are we gonna do?
And right. And we're sort of like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to fight, right? Because the alternative is like, I'm moving to Spain.
I don't want to fight, Reed. I want to whine.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's the thing is, you know, just looking back, you know, remember that where we are now didn't occur in a vacuum, right? Like, yes, okay, the Republican Party, movement, conservatism, right? All these people who came up with all this crazy stuff you're seeing, whether or not it's on abortion books, Mike Johnson, the speaker, who's this arch sort of white nationalist conservative, like these people were on the march for 40 or 50 years. They got lucky when Donald Trump appeared, right? He was the one guy that could carry their banner and was happy to do it because he doesn't care about anything, mm-hmm. right? Democrats, you know, they got really lucky with the likes of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. They were once in a generation politicians who could carry sort of the Democratic flag forward and in the aftermath. But the truth is that, you know, when you go out to the field, right, when you go out to different states, we have, you know, over 100 partners that we work with that are mostly left of center organizations. They're doing a heck of a lot of work on the ground, whether or not it's voter registration, voter turnout, just contacting people. You don't really see the sort of big D Democratic organization much. And a lot of that lay fallow. And you can't fix that in the next 51 weeks. So what I would say is this, is there are a lot of Republicans who, again, don't want to tell you that Trump is their guy. There are a lot of Republicans who do want to tell you Trump is their guy, right? He is the leader of the party. Mm-hmm. And he has led them to a very dark place. And as you know, as you talked about history, when these kinds of people want to take power, they tell you what they want to do. And if they take power, they usually do it.
And it's an interesting situation when you look at the rest of the field. As far as I know, only really one other candidate who's taking on Donald Trump, and that would be Chris Christie. Other than that, they're just kind of they're still in a state of terror. And you've got the leading candidate on the Republican side spending more time in a courtroom than on the campaign trail. So where does this, you do come from that side. You've been behind the scenes on that side. How does this, in your estimation, shake out as far as the primaries are concerned? It's hard for me to believe that if this man is convicted, say, in one of the many places where he's been indicted, in, say, Georgia, for example, how does will that move the meter at all? Or will things just be, do we have Donald Trump as the nominee? Is that the way it's going to go down?
Well, I would say this, is that the other candidates, Chris Christie's on a reputation revival tour, right? He got behind Trump in 2015, 2016 after he dropped out of the race and then was roundly humiliated by Trump and his family. And so, you know, I think that the reason that Christie's doing this is he wants to go back on ABC or CNN or wherever it is, probably wants to write another book about how he could save the future of the country. And he wants to be able to say, you know, when the time came, I fought the good fight. All right. From my perspective, he's a means to an end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad he's doing it. I don't really care one way or the other. He's not going to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. But each of these people, they would have had to get together probably in January and say, okay, only one of us is going to survive a fight with Donald Trump, if any of us survive. We all have to go in on him all day, every day. That's how you beat this guy. And they either A, didn't understand that, or B, didn't want to do it, or C, didn't understand how. A lot of them are afraid of mean tweets and, you know, oh, the MAGA people are going to be mean to me and, you know, I'm going to get booed. Like, okay, well, that's part of the deal. But now here we are, you know, that they had, I was in Miami last week, Mike, you know, where they had their latest quote unquote debate, right? Their next debate is in Alabama next month. Okay. Now, why do I mention Miami and Alabama? Because neither of them are Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, or Nevada, right? The RNC has rigged this whole deal for Trump. Wow. The whole deal.
Wow.
So he might have a rougher go in Iowa than people expect. I think he will have a rougher go in New Hampshire. South Carolina, he's still very, very popular. Nevada, we'll see, but I wouldn't expect much to happen there. But after those states, to get a little nerdy on you, what happens is instead of being proportional, which is, let's say, Mike, you won 58% of the delegates and the rest of us split it, you'd get 58% of the delegates and the rest of us would get what's left, right, to get towards a Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. After those first four states, it becomes winner take all. So if Donald Trump got 30%, and you got 29, he'd get all the delegates. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? They set it up that way with the assumption that even in a crowded field or a weakened Trump, even in that case, he'd still win the nomination, if that makes sense. So the whole deal's rigged for him.
So that's it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, nothing would make me happier than Donald Trump losing the nomination. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? Because my job is to make sure the guy's never president again.
Right.
So if that happens, that's great. Also, what happens is probably somewhere between 25 and 30 million Republican voters stay home because they're only there for him anyway. They're not really Republicans. Mm-hmm. they were zombies in the woods. You know, they were living outside my cabin, right? Before 2015. They go back to that place because they don't like anybody. They're there for him because he is the ultimate sort of destructor of the system.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't want to be that guy because it'll turn into a whine. I don't want it to be a whine.
Don't be that guy, Mike.
You have the only other wild card. Then you've answered that question, and very clearly, I might add, and I don't disagree with you. So that's that. And I'm glad to hear it put that way because it makes it very clear to people when you say fight the good fight that, you know, we got to dig our heels in and make sure that, you founded one of the leading preserved democracy organizations. And that's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. The other wild card, and it happened recently, is old Joe Manchin. And is that in any way, if he does, which I don't think he's going to jump in, if he jumps in as the moderate candidate, as the, like he likes to call himself, the middle, is that going to have a negative effect, effect on either candidate, do you think?
Well, let me say this. Excuse me. It's not just Joe Manchin. There's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Is he a factor, though? Is he? Because, I mean, I know he could be. The congressman he could be. Also that's running. You know,
yeah, he could be. There's Cornel West, you know, the professor. Jill Stein running on the Green / Putin ticket again. You know, and then there's this group No Labels out there, which is also, you know, which Joe Manchin has been very close to, but also might want to put up like a Governor Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland. So you could have this long list, Mike, of general election candidates. Most of those accrue, a vote for them accrues to Trump's benefit. Because Trump has a ceiling. Let's say it's 45% of the electorate. Okay. He can't really get, let's maybe it's say 46. He can't really get above there, right? Because if like when the people that hate Trump hate him so much, they'll never go anywhere near him, right? Never, 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 never. The people that dislike Biden might dislike him, but they're not going to go to Trump, right? In a lot of cases, they'll just stay home, but they might go to Joe, which is what they did in 2020. Or they might go to this third party candidate. And if they do that, then what happens is, again, just like with the winner take all, the plurality Trump needs to win goes down. So he doesn't need 45%. He could win with 40 because Biden's getting 38, if that makes sense, because all these other people are chopping up the votes. Let's talk about Joe Manchin, though, in particular. First of all, he's from a very small state, right? West Virginia. It's also the Trumpiest state. So there's a really good chance he wasn't going to win re-election anyway. But think about this. You know, he said he's going to go on this listening tour. It's, you know, he's doing this under the auspices of an organization that his daughter is setting up, Dark Money Group.
Is she the also, is she the EpiPen lady?
She is the EpiPen lady.
By the way,
lady,
if you want to know Joe Manchin's daughter, a very sweet lady who was responsible for the company that sold EpiPens to people that, you know, to keep them alive for $1 million a pen. That's exactly, no, I'm exaggerating.
And,
but
and Manchin, in his role as a U.S. senator, made sure that they were allowed to get away with it. Yeah. So that's one. You got the Oppo research before I did, Mike.
Yep.
But also, do you believe that the American people believe that a 76-year-old coal baron who lives on a boat in Washington, D.C. is like the voice of a new generation? Like, is this the guy that America's looking for?
See, I forgot he lived on the boat. I knew the EpiPen thing, yeah. But look, it just...
He's like Quincy, Mike.
No,
he lives
I mean,
on a boat.
The corruption... I mean, the aura of corruption surrounding that whole dude is stunning to me, but you never hear about it. That's yeah.
Well, look, he's, I mean, but he is the ultimate, you know, so we hear a lot, Mike, you'll remember this, and Rob, you will too, Oscar, you were in high school like I was, but you were a couple years younger than me, and you were blissfully unaware of all these things, but like, I went to high school down the street from Ross Perot's house.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I drove by his house every day on my way to school.
I don't read.
Yeah, and Ross was kooky, there's no question about it, but he had a real grassroots following in 1992.
Yeah.
Okay, there were people all over the country that sprung up in all 50 states to support him. He had a message, he had a vision. Again, is interesting, I'm going to use interesting, is kooky as a messenger and vessel as he was. He was really an outsider, and he was taking on both the Republican and the Democratic Party.
I voted for him. It was my first presidential election. I voted for Ross Perot. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he got 11% of the popular vote in 1992. That's not a small amount given everything else. He was also crazy, so he was convinced that the Bushes were going to, you know, ambush his daughter's wedding. He dropped out of the race. I mean, it was a whole thing, right?
And he had that wingnut running mate too, right?
Oh, Lloyd Benson.
No.
It was James Stockdale. But
Admiral but Stockdale.
But remember, the one thing about Stockdale was that nobody understood this, and this is also why they didn't run a good campaign, is that the man had spent 8 years in a Vietnamese prison camp, which is why he couldn't hear anything,
right?
Because he was deaf.
Okay.
So they didn't do Admiral Stockdale. I mean, the guy won the Congressional Medal of Honor, right? This guy was a hero.
He was a hero. Yeah.
But history remembers him like that. Who am I and why am I
now
here?
Now I feel guilty.
But so back to Manchin, the other part too, and this you know, Perot learned this too, is that running for president is unlike anything else. In world politics, it doesn't have It doesn't have a match, right? It is a gauntlet unlike anything else. And no one understands it until they've done it. Now, I've observed it a lot, so I can say with some certainty, like, this guy has no idea what he's in for. Glenn Phillips, this goon congressman from Minnesota, he doesn't either. He's learning now, right? Which is, nothing stays secret. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from, it's like being the high school band at the Battle of the Bands, and now you've got to play Live Aid. Like, you better get it right.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Because the whole world's watching, and they very, very rarely get it right the first time. I mean, Ronald Reagan was not a first-time candidate in 1980. George H.W. Bush was not a first-time candidate. And only the likes of, again, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, but even Clinton had been a candidate. Obama was one of a kind. Bush had run for Congress and lost, so at least he knew what it felt like to lose. And I think losing is a really important lesson for candidates. And so Manchin, maybe, but, you know, let's say he starts at 16% approval, right? He'll be at 5 by April because, like, it just, here's the thing is, like, you know, you think all of these, like, you know, political dark arts and opposition research and all the, you know, these things. The truth is the media is going to do it, right? There'll be other people out there sort of feeding them, but the media wants to do the colonoscopy on you. You're not going to get away with it. There's no secrets.
I love this. This is the sport of politics that I love talking to you about so much and you know so much about. We appreciate you joining us so early. I want to ask you a couple of last questions here.
Sure.
The first of the last couple of questions. When will the American people start paying attention? Because right now it's the big sleep. Right now, people are not engaged that much. We are paying attention to some of the big stuff going on internationally with Israel. But when will this political battle, when will people start paying attention? Primaries, when the primaries start?
That'll be part of it. I think when Trump, I mean, there's a couple of things that will be the precursors. One, you know, primary season officially starting, Trump sitting at a witness table, and not like in New York, right, where he's fighting with a judge, but where he's sitting like a mob boss at the table. And all these people that worked for him go, that guy told me to do it. That guy told me to do it. Right. And, you know, I mean, again, I don't know how you can tell that his brain is melted, but I think we're going to see things unlike anything we've seen from him. And I think we saw a little bit of it last weekend when he started invoking, you know, fascist terminology like vermin, right? Like, these things are not accidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, you know, probably mid-March, right, Super Tuesday, right, when we have that big slate of primaries and it becomes very clear that it's going to be the president versus Trump again. Because at that point, you know, there'll be a few people out there sort of still whinging about third parties and everything else. But at that, you know, the truth is that, like, we'll know it's going to be the rematch. I understand it's not the rematch really many, if anybody wants. But that's going to be the time. And remember, Mike, that it's not the odds of who's going to win. It's the stakes of the election, right? Which is, for me, and I hate to say it so early in the morning, is like, look, Joe Biden is old, right? He's going to turn 81, I think, next week. But the guy's done a hell of a lot in almost 3 years, right? Considering everything else. He's single-handedly holding the Western alliance together. And the economy's on the march. And I think between now and, you know, say May of next year, I think a lot of that economic good news is going to start to filter into the system, you know, emotionally and psychologically. At least I hope so. But the truth is that your choice is really clear. Don't you just take Biden and Trump out of it. It's democracy or not.
Bingo.
Right.
Bingo.
And if you don't care about democracy, then vote for Trump, because that's what you're going to get. And, you know, if you read this, you know, series of articles in the New York Times recently, like, they are not just telling you what they're going to do, they're pitching their stories to the New York Times, the paper of record for the United States of America, if not the Western world, and saying, by the way, here's all the crazy stuff we want to do. And they do it with a smile. And when people tell you stuff, Mike, as you know, you should believe them. And so what I would say is that, yeah, probably 3-4 months, it'll really pick up. But there will be something that really, you know, it'll be some externality. It almost always is. I mean, if you go back to 2020, yes, we had COVID. That scared the heck out of everybody. But I think it was really the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protests that really supercharged that election. I hope to God it's not something like that again. But there will be something that, you know, everybody looks up and goes, oh God, what are really the stakes? And when the time comes, for everything else that we've been through, for all of the signs that we don't want to save ourselves, I do have faith in the American people, Mike. If I didn't, I wouldn't do this. There's a lot easier ways to make money, mm-hmm. a lot easier ways to spend your time. And what I would say is that, you know, what we have seen is that a competent, confident Democratic candidate will beat a MAGA candidate. And I believe that that holds true for Biden versus Trump, no matter what the polls say now.
Okay. Oscar, you wanted briefly, to say one more thing before we
A couple let, things. Let one, I have to mention that, the Lincoln Project podcast, it's out there. Congratulations to Reed Galen winning the gold telly for branded podcast.
Woo! Bravo.
Mike, I won a major award.
Over 50 million award. Downloads in. Thank you. Also, reedgalen.substack.com, the home front. I'm a subscriber. You should be as well. Get into that. Oscar. The other is this. I feel, you know, from a voter's perspective, and at least from my, the way that I get to talk to some of the young people at the office, they found out that moment you were talking about. They found out about it when the courts turned Roe versus Wade, overturned Roe. They took that away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm telling you from, and we have like some 20 somethings here, mostly women, in their early 30s, like they're involved mm-hmm. because they realize that there are repercussions. These elections are important, and they want that to, they want to have their voice heard.
Yeah. And let me just say that. And I think Oscar makes a really good point, Mike, as we close out here, is that the day the Dobbs decision came down on a Friday mm-hmm. and I was doing a Zoom with one of the young women that works for us, and she was in tears. And, you know, look, we're all a bunch of, well, three of us are old white guys. And what you had to realize was that she went to bed on Thursday night, one of the freest humans the globe had ever known. Okay. And she woke up on Friday morning and she wasn't. And I think that Oscar's point is spot on, which is Dobbs is so impactful, not because of what it did, but because it actually had real live human impact. People could feel it. Women can feel it. Families can feel it. And you go back and you look at Andy Beshear up in Kentucky and the ad he ran with a young woman asking, like, you know, here I was raped by my stepfather. You're going to make me carry this baby to term? Right. There's a lot of states. The answer would be yes. In Idaho. Right. They just prosecuted the first woman for crossing the state line from Idaho to Oregon to get an abortion. Right. Like, and so women and Gen Z, especially, look, Gen Z, they saved our bacon in 2022. They saved us again, I think, last, you know, week. And I think that they can again. Many of them are upset about Israel. I think everybody is over indexing on that. I think at the end of the day, they might be young and passionate, which is what we want out of our young people, but I don't think they're stupid. In fact, they're probably far better informed than any of us could have ever hoped to have been at their age. And so, yeah, I think Dobbs will have a real impact, but also, you know, and I hate to go on a rant here, but for all of the things that generation cares about, and they are more progressive than all of us, right? The environment, education, you know, whatever equity / equality, like, if they care about any of those things, right, they're not staying home in the next year. If they care about any of those things, not only are they not staying home, they're going home at every holiday from college. Every time they talk to their mom and dad, every time they talk to their friends, they go, you better not vote for that guy. You better not vote for that guy because you're ruining my life, right? You're wrecking my world. You guys already wrecked it, right? My generation's going to have to clean it up. And now what you're telling me is I'm not even going to have the chance.
I have to say that if want to find out more about the Lincoln Project and to listen to the podcast, which Reed works with Podville with that, go to lincolnproject.us. I don't say this to you enough, but I'm going to say it because I don't know the next time we're going to be able to talk, but I certainly hope it's a couple of times before the election. But, you know, people like you have made a difference, and it is about protecting democracy. And I think when I'm worm food a long time ago, and you are too, Reed, I think they're going to, your name and your colleagues' names are going to be found in some history books because of the work that's been done. I'm proud of you, and I'm always proud to have you on the show because it's always an educational experience. I appreciate everything you do.
Well, you're very sweet to say that. And let me, before we go, you know, this is going to hurt you, Mike, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I think you're a suffering Giants fan, and I'm sorry for that. I'm not that sorry because I don't like the
what
Giants.
What an ugly turn this just took.
Thanks for bringing that up.
But what makes
appreciate
it worse is that they're on national games every week.
I know.
Every Week. And it's not like they're Jacksonville, right? Where it's like it shows in the Jacksonville market and whoever they're playing.
Right.
You have to watch it every week. Mm-hmm. And that just must be awful for you.
It's been the worst football season I can ever remember. And I really, really appreciate, you know, you bringing it up. Go back to your cabin. Go back to sleep. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Bye, Reed. Thank you.
That's Reed. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we've got the round table that, you know, I was so kind to him and then he was so horribly mean to me. We'll take a break and we will come back with lots of fun stuff.
Do you think that Chris Christie spatchcocks his turkey?
That's fit. Oh, absolutely. With one hand tied behind his
back. Oh, no. Mr. Governor.
We'll be right back. Do you want to lose 21% of your weight? I've lost over 65 pounds, and I am excited to share with you that DermGlowSkin.com is now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com, take the quiz, and see if you qualify. Now, a doctor will write you a prescription after you take the quiz and you qualify. Mm-hmm. You will be in touch with an MD. That's how it works. It's not Carla selling you, you know, weight loss medication. It's a real doctor. I wanted to make that really clear because a family member asked me about that. And I said, no, she gets you to the doctor.
She's a liaison. Liaison.
All right? And by the way, it's shipped directly to your house, packaged beautifully, because it has to be. These are real weight loss products, semaglutide and tirzepatide that you have heard so much about. If you qualify, you can get them right now at DermGlowSkin.com. If you're already on it like I was, do what I did. You can show the doctor your prescription. The doctor will review it, and you can make the switch. I already did that, and I am still losing weight. To date, over 65 pounds. Go ahead, get excited, and do it all online right now. We're getting lots of inquiries about this. Carla is, and I am as well. And I'm here to tell you, I'm on it, and I've done it through DermGlow, and I'm thrilled. I really, really. If you've struggled with weight for too long, like I did, click the weight loss button and begin the best journey of your life. Be like our proud partner, Peter Graves. Perhaps you remember him from Mission Impossible or the airplane movies. But to me, he'll always be the man who organized the ban on gas-powered leaf blowers in the city of Los Angeles.
True.
Peter Graves fell victim to a heart attack in 2010 and was laid to rest in his own last name. But even in his last hours, he was thin as a rail with a lovely complexion, thanks to DermGlow. Hit the thing, for God's sake.
He didn't like the leaf blowers.
Oh my God. What's wrong with you? Hey, oh God, we're so late. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a guy who was supposedly a former friend. An employee claims that he once caught Will Smith having sex with another guy in a dressing room all the way back on the set of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Happens every day in every place in America. The guy's name was Brother Bilal, and he supposedly walked in on Will getting jiggy with another actor by the name of Dwayne Martin. Dwayne Martin, this is the detail we're getting out of it. Will apparently on the receiving end.
Yes.
Bilal says, quote, there was a couch and Will was in a compromising position. Dwayne was, I'm not going to use the quote. All right.
No, I don't know. Well,
I don't think I want to.
Can you rephrase it? Can you paraphrase it?
Such a great quote though. Yeah. It's not dirty.
Well,
it's
then
just, it's slang, sort of.
As we used to say, Mike, fly, baby.
Dwayne was standing up killing him. Murdering him. It was murder in there. this show, it's got a little of everything, ladies.
It does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what a transition.
What a transition. Reed will be
get
so
Reed
proud.
Back on, get Reed back on the phone to get his hot take.
Will's rep has already denied it, saying this story is completely fabricated and the claim is unequivocally false. Meanwhile, Jada Pinkett had a two-word response when the paparazzi asked her about it. She said, quote, we suing. So
I heard she said something else, Mike. Jada Pinkett Smith, when asked, she said, keep your husband out my mouth.
That's right.
I don't know.
I thought, you know what, guys, if this might be a good programming option, you tell me, Mike, because you, at the end of the day, are the grand poobah of this organization. Do you think that Rob and Reed could start a podcast called the Spatchcockman?
It all weaves together, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Really, and they could discuss subjects like this.
Spatchcock.
I don't know that this is a good topic for us. But
Royal Caribbean.
Like,
she's in the news every day. I don't bring it to you every day, but occasionally I do because this is, I am signing up for this. I want to alert you guys. There will be a vacation for me coming up.
Good.
And be aware, Royal Caribbean has a Taylor Swift cruise setting sail next October. It leaves from Miami. I can just drive across the alley.
Absolutely.
And get on the ship. It leaves from Miami one day after Taylor finishes her three-night run of shows in Miami. It's called In My Cruise Era. And the official website says, quote, "Join us as we celebrate all things Taylor. Make new friends, dress up in our favorite eras, trade friendship bracelets, and enjoy everything this amazing ship has to offer."
That
this
sounds
cruise,
great.
Yeah, it does. This cruise is for all fans, so bring your besties, your moms and dads, your baby fans, and if you need some room if you need someone to room with, post on our page and ask. FYI, this tour is not endorsed or affiliated with Taylor Swift. So don't expect
her to show up. Oh, so she's not on the boat?
No, she's not on the boat. She's not going on a cruise.
That blew my mind.
This is like the
goes on cruise.
Cruises.
People like me.
And the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, that's true. You know who I feel sorry for is the older gentleman and his wife of 50 years that accidentally booked themselves on that cruise.
It's the boat we like so bad.
It is. I like Royal Caribbean.
What are all these kids doing here? Always an excuse for me to do the Gene Simmons impression. Gene Simmons says, "Hand on a Bible, December 2nd will be Kiss's final in-makeup appearance. Even though it's the end of the band, it's not the end of their brand." Quote,
"Kiss will continue. There's a Kiss museum in Las Vegas, and oh my goodness, we have cruises, a movie coming out, and we're working on a cartoon show and a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, all the fun toys and games that will continue."
Gene also mentioned that a different type of live show is in the works. Quote, "It'll be 4 to 10 different traveling..." I'm sorry.
"It will be 4 to 10 different traveling shows, so you'll be able to be in Japan and have Japanese actors, musicians being us. And at the same time, you could go to Vegas or to New York or London. The force of gravity caused my pants to fall to..." No, all right.
I think the greatest era for Kiss is when they were doing their concerts out of makeup, but their opening act was a Kiss impersonator band in makeup.
You're absolutely wrong. The greatest era of Kiss was the world-famous Spatchcock tour. Thank you.
The American Farm Bureau, here it is.
They gave away 7-inch records.
Yes, they did.
This is 7.5.
Turned into a filthy program today.
What is the matter with you guys?
7.5, I apologize. Yeah. It's a size.
Let's go to the anchor desk right now. Pete, what do you have for us? Well, thanks a lot, Kelly. The American Farm Bureau Federation released its annual report on the cost of an average Thanksgiving meal for 10 people. It's $61.17. That is down from $64.05 last year. So the price has gone down, inflation watches.
Yeah.
That's $6.12 ahead, a 4.5% decrease from 22, but it's still 25% higher than it was pre-pandemic.
Well, what you got is supply chain issues. Oh.
Yeah. The Midwest has the most affordable Thanksgiving this year, $5.87 a person. The Northeast, the most expensive. There you go, boys, $6.44. They base it on 12 Thanksgiving staples, but not everyone thinks they're the best choices. For example, they factor in sweet taters, not mashed taters, but they've been using the same 12 foods since 86.
No mashed potatoes? Then the whole thing is sus.
No, they got sus. You love saying sus.
I do.
You're not allowed to say sus anymore.
It gives me the ick, as the kids say.
It does. It does. Right. He thinks he's being hip, and he's aging rapidly, and it's sus is what... My son's beginning to...
He has a name. His name is Rob.
Rob doesn't yet get to use sus anymore.
Okay, so no more sus, but I will say this. If they don't have mashed potatoes on that list, the whole list is suspect.
Yes.
As always, the most expensive... as always, Kelly... The most expensive item is the turkey at just over $27. You were right about that. You were you zeroed in on the turkey price. That's for a 16-pound bird. That's down 5% from last year, ladies and gentlemen.
I hear cranberries are at an all-time high.
Cranberries, yes, sir.
What about the anal beads?
The anal beads, right after you spatchcock your turkey. Thank you. A 57-year-old woman named, by the way, my verbal crutch lately has been thank you. I say it for absolutely no reason.
It's very polite of you.
I think it's very nice.
My God, that came out of your mouth. A 57-year-old woman named Sandra Henson just pleaded guilty to larceny, trespassing, and disturbing the peace after crashing a wedding in September and stealing from people. But this isn't her first time at the rodeo. She's been walking into strangers' wedding receptions for at least 6 years.
Wow.
In three states, Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi.
That's where all of the Republican debates are going to be.
And stealing from the bridegroom and their guests. Here's how she does it. She waits till they have one of those moments like the cutting of the cake or introducing first dance, all that stuff. Then she digs through people's purses while guests are distracted, and she snatches presents off of gift tables. Mm. She's made off with tens of thousands of dollars in cash, credit cards, and gifts. And she always takes the last piece of chocolate pie from those weddings, too.
Mike, how big was that chocolate pie?
It was a mile wide.
Good heavens.
Happy wedding day. We'll take a break and we'll do something. I have no idea. But it's been a very busy show. We'll be right back with some very quick breaks, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
Because we're running late. We'll be right back. Ooh, I'm Will Smith, and I'm getting satisfied, I'm Will Smith. I'm sorry. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. No better time to tell you about Naked Wines than right now, because Naked Wines is good for Thanksgiving. It is a subscription service that connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get wine as often as you like for a fraction of the price you pay in stores, and it is good. Up to 60% off. The delivery is wonderful, amazing, secure packaging. I got a cab that I took to my neighbor's house, and then I made them drink it. That's not that I forced them to drink it. I just was rude where I said, why don't we open that bottle? I realize now when I said that during the commercial of Naked Wines the other day that my Naked Wines wine that I brought, it was very rude, very gauche for me to do that. But man, oh man.
But you wanted it.
It was so good.
You were thirsty.
It was so good, and everybody loved it, and so I was redeemed. I'm going to drop some wine knowledge on you. The nose on the cab that we had at our why are you laughing?
Because it's funny, the phrase nose.
Well, you put it in there.
I know, it's still funny.
Here's the best part. Every bottle is a passion project from an independent winemaker, so you're literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true by supporting them, and they are delicious. So head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher in the top right-hand corner. When you get to the website, then all you have to do is enter TMOS for both the code and the password. It's that easy. Two TMOSs. That'll
That's
get you
all.
Six bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. I'm pretty sure if you do it now, you can get it for Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure, but I'll double check it. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab six bottles, $39.99. NakedWines.com/TMOS. Code and password TMOS for $100 off your first six bottles. 143 last night, if you're keeping tabs on my bowling prowess.
That's a good game. That's
it was
a good
not
game.
A bad
what was
game.
What's your set?
You mean like all three games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Don't pay attention.
Did you
I can't even
win?
Read the scoreboard. When
Did you win?
Yeah, I think the team won.
The team won. A team win is a win.
And
that's
nice
a win.
People.
Yeah.
And listen, yeah. I'm accepted at the bowling alley. I did a shot with a team that was all the way down on the far end.
Did they pick up the five pin? Is that why
they
did shots?
They didn't. So the guy that had the five pin didn't pick it up, which means you get a shot.
Oh, that's
what it is. He has to buy a shot.
That's
right. And they brought the guy came all the way over and brought me down there, and I
felt.
What
was Carla wearing?
She was wearing the oh, what the hell's the name of those pants she sells? You know, she sells everything.
Levi's?
No. She was wearing the, oh, damn it. She's going to get so mad at me.
No, she won't.
It's on her website. She's
yeah.
Those
yeah.
Pants.
The
activewear.
It was the active, dangerously cute activewear. I don't.
Thank you. Do you? But she was wearing that, and then the guy walked all the way down all the alleys.
Okay,
to find
I see where
you.
You're going. I yeah. see where you're going. Look, he came over to say hi to her earlier, and then I yeah, chatted him up. But he came to get me.
Yeah.
Did me. He look like Pee Wee's antagonist? 64-year-old
me to go down with the young guys and Got do it. A shot because they. They liked me.
No, he was probably like, this guy's got high tea.
Yeah.
Let's get him involved.
Yeah. Mike, did he look like Pee-wee's antagonist? Was he that guy?
No. He was two alleys down. I'm really glad you remember when I tell my stupid-ass bowling stories. But big controversy last night. First of all, you boys have been to the Casa here. You know, I got those two yeah. trees on either side of the garage.
Yes.
Got one flat out down. 60 to 80 mile an hour wind gust down here Yikes. Last night oh, in West man. South Florida. So the bowling alley, power on, power off, power on, power off. It was really nuts. We didn't get out of there until like quarter of 10.
Did they have to bring in young men to be pin setters?
No. No, but a lot of groaning when the whole sure. alley would shut down. But you know, I
have to imagine it would take
strides.
A while to reboot the system of the pin setting. So when it came
it
right
does,
up,
because they have to reboot. It's a computer system, but
yeah,
you don't know when you're in the middle of the alley how much it's affecting. And I think they've got like their electrical cords in the building or with duct tape or something. I mean, it's not a fine facility.
Is it an not. Old enough neighborhood that the power cords are above ground?
Yes.
Okay, 1, that's your deal.
1,000%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the I believe that the guy that, let me see, the original owner was Thomas Edison when he lived down here.
You know, I always found it remarkably nice that when we worked at WJFK in Fairfax still had above-ground power lines,
mm-hmm.
and every day at about 4:45 in the summer, we'd go off the air for about 8 minutes because a thunderstorm would roll through,
right.
knock us off the air, mm-hmm. and they never thought to, hey, maybe it's because the power lines are not buried.
Yes, I know. It's yeah. And we have them buried here, but I couldn't. Yeah. I must have been head down going to pick up my kid at Gammy's house, because then when I came back in the driveway, I saw the, you know, the power, the not the power line, the tree down
tree.
Out front.
Any damage nasty. From the fall? Did it fall on your driveway or
no,
just
it's a
on
small
the grass?
Tree, but I hate okay. the trees anyway, and this is my excuse to get them out of there.
That's good.
Get some real estate back.
They block the lights.
Who needs trees?
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna take a trip to a wonderful world. It's the world of Oscar.
Yay.
Yay!
We're just going to pick his brain and find
How
out.
How much time do I have? I got a lot to say.
You'll have more time than I had during this break.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I'll go like this when your time is up.
No.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Scoot me on.
That'll be fun to look for.
We'll be right back. It's time to visit the exclusive source for official TMOS merchandise, the Mike O'Mara Show online store. Get over to TMOSstore.com now. You got your legacy t-shirts and cozy hoodies. You got your morning transforming coffee mugs. You got beautiful legacy logo stickers that you can put on your car or your computer or your briefcase if you're a spy. And if you've been looking
bowling
for...
Bowling bag. Put it on your bowling bag.
Putting on a bowling bag. Thank you. Holiday gifts. If you're looking for those, even better for the TMOS fan in your life. There's no better place to shop than TMOSstore.com, even if you're just giving a gift to yourself. We've got your back. We have Oscar Santana has hand-selected everything for top-tier quality and killer good looks. Grab your TMOS gear and support the show you love. Folks, this is important. We need your help. We want you to support the show by going to TMOSstore.com. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. We keep it fresh with new items added regularly. Stay ahead of the curve and be the envy of your TMOS crew. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things Mike O'Mara Show. Authentic, official, awesome. Thank you for your support. It's all happening at TMOSstore.com.
.com.
Thank you.
.com.
.com.
All right, so you are... Are you venturing forward? Are you venturing forth anywhere for the Thanksgiving holiday, or will you be staying in Alani this holiday?
Alani. Yeah, my family's coming into town.
Good.
So
I'm glad you're not traveling for one.
Do you like that when they come to you? Is that easier? Is that more pleasant for you? Because yes, I know you enjoy some of the lifestyle of when you head out west.
Travel, well, holidays now, as anybody that has older parents, is now more of a how do I get your older parents to from A to B?
True.
So when they the family comes to us, that's what no one really talks about it. It's an unspoken deal. And I think, Mike, you probably, and I'm sure some of our listeners that are the caretakers of their parents because they're closest from proximity understand this.
Yeah.
Everybody chooses what is going to happen except for the parents and the youngest in the family. Mm-hmm. But they always are like, well, Oscar and Shannon will make sure that the glowworms get out west a-okay.
So it is a hassle. It's a giant hassle for you because you're responsible for ferrying them to the, you know, either Boston or out to Los Angeles. So it's nice for you guys when they're in their home and everybody else deals with the travel, which is, you know, it's a massive, anybody that's done it, nobody,
of course.
I don't think anybody really digs it anymore. The process of getting to where they're going, they probably love to be with family, but Jesus, I mean, it's nightmarish. This is where I first discovered the flip of air travel. I mean, as long as I've been traveling, it's been not exactly fun, but I watched it go from, I was a routine Wednesday night traveler up to New England, going to my parents. That's just the way it happened. And it's just a monumental hassle. So it's the answer. I'm answering the question for you. It's got to be great for you, I would think.
Right? Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. Mm-hmm. And also, Thanksgiving is for the past 6 years now, we also celebrate Sebastian's birthday. So he'll turn 7.
That's awesome.
And my mom has been talking about, if you recall, she was robbed once at a Balducci's.
I remember.
Getting her Florida cake for her 7-year-old nephew. Now we've learned he likes chocolate, like most kids do, and she's learned that as well. Mm-hmm. And she continues to go back to this establishment, Balducci's.
She loves the bakery there.
Oh, my God. And let me tell you, when we tried to explain to her this past weekend that she could order it online, and she's like, but I have to see it. I said, I don't understand what that means, but we could order it online, and then they could deliver or we could pick it up for you. She goes, no, but I like going there and letting them know what I want.
She,
and I said,
this is the look, I have things in common with your mom. And one of them is we both take the med for weight loss.
Correct.
And we both like food and we both have a sweet tooth. Your mom likes to stand in front of that glass case and look at all the one. Now, I've been to this particular grocery store. It's a famous place in the DC suburbs.
It really fancy. Is. Yes.
And it's super deluxe. Absolute beautiful bakery items. That's her mini version of Disneyland.
Of like the PGA store? Like, I don't
know. That's
her
PGA store. 100%. I know it is. That's why she likes to, no, I don't want to. You know, click, click, click. You want to go, the scents.
Yes.
See them, you know, see them putting out the different colors.
And she wants to see the Florida cake, even if she can't buy it.
Yeah, but I'm also the guy who was jumping in dumpsters 2 years ago because somebody pickpocketed her.
Yeah, but it wasn't a violent crime, right?
No, it wasn't. You're right. It wasn't. It was a crime.
Not like
of
somebody put a Glock in her face and said, you know, give me the Florida cake.
Attention, pickpocket. she just left her wallet and her purse open.
I'll go one step further because I want you to comment on this. Do you think there's a chance that when she goes to pick out the cake for someone else, that there might be another extra little treat in her hand when she leaves the bakery?
Let me give you a percentage.
Okay.
And this should answer it. 100%.
What do you think it'll be? Is she like, does she like donuts? Will she get a cupcake?
No, she's going to get a little, not the big sheet of Florida cake. She'll get the little circle one that's like for everybody. Just a taste.
Will she be cooking for everybody?
She will be.
That's great.
She's already... It's great because I get to, I'm blessed to go and see my mother every Saturday or Sunday, these days. And like, as soon as I hit it's like, it's the things she needs me to do for her. But also let me tell you what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that. Cause you know, she doesn't get to talk to a lot of people. I will be but what I don't need to know. I don't need to know is what everything costs at the supermarket now. I don't need to know that. I'm okay about pasteles, el queso blanco. Like, I'm okay with all that. Just, Mom, figure it out, please. And then she
specialty
says this.
Specialty foods.
International
and
this, food.
And I hope my brother's listening to this because I think he actually cares.
Yes.
He says, ¿sabes qué? And I'm like, what? And she's telling me that her son, Jose, the doctor, has paid for her flights to L.A., which I did 2 years ago because, I was, you know,
you
in my eyes.
That was, for it.
All right.
And she says, she goes, pero usó mi cuenta de banco, which means, but he used my bank account. And I said, well, what are you talking about? I thought he bought the tickets for you. She goes, yeah, but with my bank account. And I said, so basically you bought your own tickets. He just
facilitated the purchase.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, but for years now, you've been telling me how he bought your tickets. And she said, yeah. And I said, when I buy your tickets, I actually buy your tickets. I don't just log on with your credit card and do it. Like, that's not buying your tickets.
You're the poor relative.
Yes.
I'm the poor relative.
Wow. Do you believe?
I'm doing it wrong.
Is this true?
I'm doing it wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, because I called my brother. I was like, hey, Skinflint, what's the story with, is mom really like, you know, are you really? He goes, yeah, because, you know, we give her money every month. We're just using that money to, you know, you can't just sit there.
It's a scheme.
Con permiso. That's it. You do it now forever. Don't trip. Are you going out there for Christmas?
Apparently, yes.
Good. Do it the way he did it. That's the way you roll. Or yeah. You know what? Just leave it in his hands.
I was sitting there and I was like, Mom, I didn't highlight to my mom that my brother didn't use his own money, but I knew that. Yeah. And she's like, and then he did this for me and this for me. I'm like, I don't know if that's the way that usually works. Cause I remember when I bought you tickets, you asked me for business class and I said no. And then you gave me a little attitude for about a week.
Yeah. When in fact that, you know, if you're using her account, fire, you know, fly her first out there.
Well, charter. Go one. For it. Charter a plane.
But I thought it was genius of my brother to get credit.
¿Dónde están
for using
net
her own
jets?
Credit.
¿Dónde están net jets? All right. I got to wave you down now. We're running out of time. So,
salud.
We got to take a break. We will come back.
But Oscar, you get full credit for that segment.
Thank you.
We will be right back with more fun. The flip side's coming.
Got to flip it, yeah.
Funny things to see on the screen and hear with your headphones or earbuds or whatever you're using, your devices. And I hope if you want one for Christmas, you get whatever you want, technologically speaking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Groove Life. That's right. Thank you. Thanks, Wally. This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life. Hey, listen, pal, it's time to update your wallet, all right? The Groove Wallet. I am going to tell you the truth. All right, I'm going to get my Groove Wallet out here. Oh,
yeah, here
it
comes.
No, take yours out. Here's the thing. When I take it out of my, where did I put it? Oh, I got it right over here. All right, I took it out of my pants. When I do this with my Groove Wallet, when I flip the cards up like that, I have to tell you, this is the truth. I am not making this up. I still feel like it's kind of a cool thing to do.
Of course.
Do you not have the same experience where...
Every time.
In certain situations, there's a cool factor to it. Now, I don't know if this is just because, you know, it's me or whether it really is. But the idea of taking a little thumb patch and I love it. It makes me feel 20 years younger. I am not exaggerating. Thank you. It's aluminum. It's engineered for everyday use. One thumb motion perfectly fans out up to 6 cards. Easy access. And it comes with Groove Life's 94-year no BS warranty because it's made like a tank.
Mm.
Plus, they just launched a new attachment, the Groove Wallet Go. Rob uses that one. It attaches to your iPhone 12, 13, or 14 by using innovative micro-suction technology.
That's micro-suction, Oscar.
It gives you the ability to add another 3 cards, plus cash. And don't forget, Groove Life makes the best belts in the world. I got 5 of them. It's time to bring your wallet into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS. 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you're going to find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS, for 20% off your order. One last time, promo code TMOS for 20% off your order, Groove Life. Click the button on our website. Thank you.
Hello.
Rolling.
Let me roll it.
Flip, love, and fly.
The flip side.
I don't much trust Alec Baldwin.
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, just briefly. I'm so sorry. I know most people think I take a powder during this segment. One of our wonderful clients from the George and Barbara Bush Foundation, a Bush family member, is here, and I'm being called to walk and talk to them.
Do not give the Bush family short shrift.
No, no.
Is it shrift or shrift? Get out of here. Go ahead.
Take it.
Okay. You'll be back for the that meeting.
Part two.
Right?
He took that. Mike?
Yes, I'm
Alec
here.
Baldwin, do you trust him?
Here's how I feel about it. I don't know what story you're going to be putting on here, but I have to say that enough. I mean, I think the guy, he didn't want to kill that lady. He didn't want to do that, okay? I do trust that he believed there was no bullet in the gun, if you're asking me that.
The thing that bothered me about that is that as soon as it happened, he began to try to control the narrative.
Which is his type A BS, and we all hated him for that, and that's legit. But now it's like, are you really still pounding on this guy about
this? Well, I think what's happened, and I don't know where this was leaked from, but it's on YouTube. There has been a piece of footage leaked about Alec Baldwin on the set of Rust before they shot that fateful scene.
This is where he's shooting the guns?
Yeah, and he appears to be concerned about his actors on the set. He seems to be being careful.
Yep.
You want to go on the other side of the camera? I don't want to shoot toward you. No! Okay.
Someone tripped. He asked if they're okay.
Everyone okay?
We're all good. Let me see the camera.
You all right?
Yeah, all good.
Let's stop. I'm getting nervous do we want you? I'm going to follow you.
Okay.
So I want you to go along. I don't know why you're going up hills and all this other. You're going to break your neck.
Yeah.
So I want you to lead him on the nicest path.
I was, but I'm.
No. I want you to go on the nicest path.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow you.
See, to me, that seems edited to be three disparate moments of him showing care.
Like you find it a little hinky that they're releasing.
Yeah, I do. I think it probably came from the Baldwin camp. I don't know.
How do you feel about the fact that they're pounding on him a little bit too much, though? I mean, I just thought this was put to bed already.
He deserves it when he tried to take control of it. If he's going to keep injecting himself, that's my thought. Anyway.
I don't have an argument
for
that.
I thought that was fascinating. A grandmother that is over 100 years old, you would think you would take her advice, wouldn't you? I mean, she's aged and she knows what's going on. Sage-wise. Well, this lady, I think she's about 38. She's out with her grandma and getting advice, and she doesn't necessarily like it. The bleeped word you're going to hear here is an ugly word, Mike. It is the word slut, just so you know.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know, but I do say this. Tell it like it is, Granny.
Okay.
I'm 38. I've never been there. Have you ever been there?
Really, Nana?
38 years old.
Really?
I've never been there. No children or nothing. You sure missed a lot of life.
Why do I have to get married and have kids to have a good life?
You do have no good life.
I do.
You don't go nowhere.
I do. I just got back from a trip.
By yourself, no man. If you don't have a man, you ain't nothing.
Really? I'm not nothing without a man. Huh?
You're not a lesbian, are you?
Are you?
No, I had a husband, tell you that. Huh?
I still have sex.
You what?
I still have sex.
I know you do, but that's not right. That's dirty. Sleeping around like a...
It's one person. One person.
God bless
sleeping
her.
Around like a...
Get your hand out of my pocket!
Oh, that is awesome. That
going around like awesome. That horrible word. Mm-mm-mm. All right, let's close with this. This is the bottom of the list, Mac. It's a toddler, and his folks have just brought home a baby. I think it's his brother.
Okay.
So it's a toddler with an infant, and they ask the baby brother to be held by the older brother, who's still little, and they ask the older brother to rock him. All right? And I don't know that this is a standard lullaby, but he is rocking him after all.
Rock your baby.
Sing a song,
baby.
It's a real common song.
We will watch you. We will watch you.
Good job, buddy. That's all I got.
That's awesome. I love that. That is fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We want to thank Reed Galen, the founder co-founder of the Lincoln Project. Go to lincolnproject.us to find out more about this democracy protection organization. He is a special guy, and he always makes time for us. We are eternally grateful. Don't forget, we've got a fabulous bonus show this week. Check us out and subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the bonus show, and tell your friends to subscribe as well. It's a great gift for the holidays, too. TMOSstore.com. We got our mugs, hoodies, t-shirts, phenomenal stickers. The Don't Get Happy Society stickers are there, too. We appreciate all your support. We'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
You know, I don't want to bring this up, but you've been treating a lot of people with a lot of disrespect, even your own wife.
I'm beginning to see why your wife left you.